Okay, here we go. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Nice to have you here at the Linux Talk in Wiesbaden. And welcome to the talk about iSCSI, SCSI on steroids. Some short information about me. My name is Matt Rechenburg. I'm a project manager of different open source related projects, like OpenMosix, Vue, or iSCSI IDM. Living in Bonn, Germany, working as a freelancer for all different kinds of open source or commercial projects. Well, we skip the uninteresting part and step directly into the, today's agenda. First, we will find out in general what iSCSI is, how it works, what we can do with it. We will talk a bit about especially file systems on iSCSI, and I also will introduce cluster file systems used on iSCSI. There will be an introduction about three different open source iSCSI related projects, which are the Enterprise iSCSI Target, which is an iSCSI server, the Open iSCSI project, the Fitting client, and the Car iSCSI admin project, which is a GUI interface for the client. After that, I will also talk a bit about the role of the open source community in respect to iSCSI and about their effort to get the iSCSI support into the mainline Linux kernel. How to plan SAN infrastructures with iSCSI in production environments, pros and cons, like common pitfalls will be also part of the presentation. And at the end, we will have a short live demonstration of the introduced project. And of course, there will also be time for questions. So let's start. What's iSCSI in general? Somebody here which does not know what SCSI is, I guess we all know. Okay, it's the connector with the more higher number counts of pins for your drive, for your hard drive. So SCSI defines the standard, and iSCSI extends this standard by using the SCSI protocol as a transport mechanism across the network. SCSI means small computer system interfaces, and with the iSCSI, it enhances to Internet small computer systems interfaces. iSCSI works on top of TCP/IP. It aims to be fully compliant with the standardized SCSI architecture. It's a client server based on the client server model. That means we have an iSCSI target. This is the server part, and the client part is called the iSCSI initiator. It's inside the kernel. iSCSI is working on top of the Linux of the SCSI layer, the standard SCSI layer, and it's using the hot plug mechanism to attach the new discovered devices from an iSCSI target. In general, an iSCSI target server provides generic access to a remote block device. That means it can be either a hard disk or a block device file. Other related technologies are HyperSCSI, which is kind of deprecated. It's not very active anymore, this project. And well-known network block devices like NBD, ANBD, GNBD. They are kind of used, but we can see iSCSI as an enhancement of those network block device sets by using the SCSI protocol. So why do I need iSCSI storage? In general, iSCSI can be fantastically used for storage consolidation. That means we can combine existing storage solutions. To save hardware power, maintenance, and reduce the administration cost. iSCSI is in tests and in usage much faster than other network file system compared to, for example, NFS, because it can use directly the generic block device layer inside the Linux kernel, and it has the capability to use journaling file system like Extended 3 or whatever you're using as a journaling file system. iSCSI itself has better capabilities depending on the target which is being used. Like it can support snapshots. They can be, depending on the target, there are easier operations for backup restore. It may support dynamic resizing of the iSCSI disks. And some more interesting features for production environments also. Generally, it's faster than common network file system because of the block device layer and the capability to use journaling file system and the internal file system cache inside the Linux kernel. It can pretty good coexist with existing storage environments, so an environment which already exists can be enhanced by adding just iSCSI components. And last but not least is iSCSI is a cheap technology, so existing storage server can be upgraded with iSCSI support with less costs. So the mechanism itself is a server client-based technology. First I will describe the iSCSI target as the server. There are different implementations of these iSCSI targets. There are commercial ones like the NetApp, Ardis, FiberCat, to name a few. And there are also open source iSCSI targets. The most famous one is the Enterprise iSCSI target. And there's also an UNH iSCSI, which includes a target. As mentioned, it serves real hard disk or block devices across the network. And those disks or disk files are containing common Linux file systems like Extended 3, RiserFS, or GFS. That's because it's not a network file system, but just gives the access to the network block device layer across the network. Those iSCSI disks look like a completely normal disk. They have partitions on it, a partition table created by FDisk, and each target iSCSI target project, of course, differs a bit from the other because of caused by different implementations of the standard. Each target, of course, also has specific offers specific features, like I mentioned, like snapshots, device cloning, or easier doing backup restore. So on the other hand, we have the client, the iSCSI initiator, which is used to connect to the target. The well-known commercial projects are from Cisco and from Ardisk. The open source iSCSI initiator, there is the UNH project, and the which is kind of deprecated. There's the iSCSI project, which was the first iSCSI initiator project for the Linux kernel. And this project still serves the stable version for the initiator for the 2.4 kernel versions. For the 2.6 versions, kernel versions, there is the Open iSCSI project, which was merged now together with the Linux iSCSI project to combine efforts and to combine the source base. And it is now it now just made the way into the Linux kernel with in the version 2.6.15. That means with current 2.6.16 or 17, we simply can mark iSCSI inside the Linux kernel configuration and use it. Additional with the user tools from OpeniSCSI. So the initiator normally consists of a kernel module and an iSCSI daemon and some utils to manage the target discovery and connection sessions. And as for the target, there are different implementations for the iSCSI standard for the client. and the most successful one is currently the OpenISCSI project. So the process in general I will describe now. We start with the ISCSI discovery process. It's being initiated from the client. That's why it's called initiator. Normally by insmodding an ISCSI kernel module and starting an ISCSI daemon, which communicates with the ISCSI module. The ISCSI daemon either reads configuration file or is being managed by the command line utilities. And the actually first step for the client to get access to the to the ISCSI target is to send a discovery request. That means it sends to the target a request to which the target replies with a list of available records to log in. Those records are then used by the client to log in to a specific logical target on the ISCSI target server. It can be a bit confusing. It means I have an ISCSI server, which is the physical system, the hardware I boot up. And on this physical system, I can have multiple logical ISCSI targets configured by its configuration file to separate different storages by name or by in different groups. So the targets then gives a list of actual devices and record numbers which the client is using to log into a specific target. During the login procedure, those devices are then connected through the hot plug mechanism inside the Linux kernel and appear, for example, in var log messages as a new SCSI block device dynamically added on the fly. It's basically similar to the mechanism connecting a USB stick to a computer. The hot plug mechanism picks up the new devices and gives it a new, the next free device name. And as soon as we have the device name, we can actually use it as a regular device, like mounting it, running FDisk on it, or copying files to it. So the actually trouble which we are running into this is that ISCSI clients does not really have static device names for their discovered or connected LANs, ISCSI LANs. That means on one computer the same device can be SDA1 and on the second one it can be SDB1 or SDC1. To overcome this this situations, there are several mechanisms. There is, for example, the Internet Storage Name Service, which is used to register ISCSI and fiber channel storage devices inside a network so that clients can discover them automatically. There's also the possibility to use tools like Device Mapper or special UDEF rules to always map a specific ISCSI device to a generic device name, which is which is the same on all computers. So we now come to authentication. Of course, when connecting a hard drive across the network, we need authentication. There are a few methods which actually can be used. Either the target implementation brings his own methods of authentication, or the normal mechanism is CHAP to authenticate users or better clients to the target. ISCSI works on top of TCP/IP, so its network traffic we can also encrypt to make it more secure, and or use the Internet Storage Name Service, which brings its own authentication method, like several ISCSI targets too. So kind of serious point is the performance. In tests, iSCSI delivers a very good performance results in compared to standard NFS. It can actually be faster than the network bandwidth because it can use the it can use two caches for read-write operations on the network on the iSCSI file system. One is the Joinlink file system cache inside the, for example, extended 3 file system on the block device. The other cache it can use is from the iSCSI targets, which often offer themselves kind of caching methods on the server side to increase the throughput from the client. To name a few tests, there were tests which gave about 102 megabytes per second throughput on a 100 megabyte network, which seems actually not possible, but it is possible because of all the caching mechanisms used in iSCSI. And the overall performance, of course, very much depends on network bandwidth and the used hardware, and can be used by and can be increased by hardware tuning also. So, like I said, we can use all kinds of available file systems on the iSCSI block device. On the other hand, this means only one user can connect to a specific device at one time when I only have extended 3 file system on it, because when I'm multiple users would connect to the same hard disk and there's no cluster file system on it, it would corrupt the file system, because normal file system are only designed to handle like single clients. If you plan to set up iSCSI file system to use to share across multiple users in parallel, there is the need to use a cluster file system to manage multiple client access in parallel. There are a few options. The most common cluster file system is, I think, the GFS. It's kind of stable, supported by Red Hat Fedora. It is more usable in production mode when using hardware fencing, because otherwise there may be active situations in the GFS cluster file system, as I experienced, which are not easily to solve without hardware fencing. Next to GFS we have Lustre. To be honest, I did not really test it by myself, because it's from the documentation it's very, very complicated to set up, and I skipped it for now, but immediately stepped to OCFS2, which I will not explain very much in this talk, because we have immediately after this talk there will be a talk about the OCFS2 file system, so we saved this for later. It's a quite new project, this is what I can say. It's very stable in my tests and it's easy to use and to set up. It works very good in combination with iSCSI and offers then the capability of multiple client access in parallel. So now I introduce the first iSCSI related project. It's the Enterprise iSCSI target. It's being forked from the commercial ARDIS target in respect of the GPL. And while the ARDIS target was very good, it was missing some serious parts like support for multiple CPUs in the kernel and support for 2.6 version of the kernel. Now it's going to be picked up by the Enterprise iSCSI target, and they have a very stable releases for the 2.6 kernel. They support the iSCSI Enterprise target supports 64-bit architecture, dynamic reconfiguration, there's the option to plug in the internet news service, naming service for iSCSI, and yeah, I just can recommend to use to start with this. It's very easy to set up, and the actually disks to export over across the network can be simply block files. As many projects, the enterprise iSCSI target is hosted on SourceForge, so you will find it there. The counterpart to this target is the Open iSCSI Initiator. Its code base was merged with the Linux iSCSI project, and to combine the efforts of both projects and the source base. Open iSCSI is currently in heavy development, since for every kernel-related project there are many changes inside the kernel, and those projects have to be keep track with all those changes inside the kernel with their project too. They are currently providing very stable development releases, which are being heavily tested by the Open iSCSI community before. And all this effort now really seems to pay off, because the Open iSCSI Initiator implementation just made it into the 2.6.15 kernel. So we now have it as a simple kernel configuration option. It's highly optimized and has a very small footprint in the data path. It has a persistent configuration database, and you can use CHEP for authentication or the internet naming service, which I talked before. It supports multiple sessions at once, that means multiple client connections. Ah, okay. Good to know. The third project I wanted to introduce is the KaiSCSI project, founded by myself a few months ago, to actually start the process of creating a nice and smart interface for the iSCSI admin commands. The intention of this was, or is, to catch up more users for the iSCSI community and to populate the group of testers and developers to gain a better quality of the whole iSCSI thing. The application itself is built up using Qt as the widget library, and all common commands usually executed by command line by the iSCSI admin are available in the car iSCSI admin util too. Projects also hosted on SourceForge, and you will find downloads and more detailed information on the project website. Additionally, also there are binary packages available for different Linux distributions. We're now coming to the role of the open source community in this process. Well, the power of the Free Software Foundation and the Open iSCSI community heavily pushed the iSCSI development, and the current noticeable process was not possible without this kind of distributed QA and programming groups all over the world. What we see now is that iSCSI for Linux is leaving the beta stage and is making it to stable releases, which are already used in production environments now. And there are new features, there are better and more user-friendly tools, there is an increased stability and more robustness, and last but not least, a nice graphical user interface. Those are just a few topics the iSCSI community is currently working on. Just like the Linux kernel, this is an active process which will not stop until the mission succeeds. So how do I plan an iSCSI storage environment? First, of course, it's for building up or migrating a storage environment, it requires a detailed planning in any case. The first step will be to know the existing resources, means inventorizing what already exists to help understand the requirements of the new system and the exact needs. What needs to find out more about the exact needs, we need to measure and calculate the network traffic between the existing storage system and factorize them according to the expected data traffic on the new system. And this, of course, depends on if the old system should be just replaced or involves an upgrade, like means new storage is just being added. What we should think of is that the network connect of the iSCSI target must not be the bottleneck of this system. It is recommended to use multiple and powerful network interfaces for these servers, because this is actually what multiple clients will connect through. Of course, the overall performance can be increased by increasing network bandwidth and decreasing the latency by hardware upgrades or better switches and network interfaces. You may have asked yourself if we can boot from iSCSI. And yes, it's possible, and it's very cool. The advantages of booting from iSCSI is it's unlike NFS root network mounting or network booting. Booting from iSCSI looks like native iSCSI. That means the node needs no changes at all. It just sees its normal local hard drive, which is actually a remote block device. The disadvantage, of course, if the network is down, the system won't work anymore because it won't be able to access its hard drive. There are several approaches to for booting from iSCSI. One is with iSCSI init modules. It's a module which is using a pro command line configuration of the kernel to actually connect the SCSI device. The second option is a kind of packaging option. That means we can package iSCSI utils and kernel modules inside the very special init RD, which starts the iSCSI discovery and login to connect the root file system, and then pivot roots into the new connected root file system after that. Both methods are kind of tricky because the iSCSI daemon on the init RD needs to fit to the kernel version and to the module version and also to the libc version on the init RD, and it's kind of tricky, but more or less just a packaging issue. One project I would like to mention here at least is a project which supports this booting from iSCSI out of the box, which with 2.4 and 2.6 kernels. This is the OpenQRM Data Management, OpenQRM Data Center Management Platform. Has this special init RD mechanism built in, so you can just image your servers and then boot them from iSCSI, from your iSCSI target. I made a quick, funny test about it. There's also the possibility to boot over a wide area network. Means since we can forward, or since it's based on TCP/IP, we can also connect iSCSI storage across the internet, for example, with the option of encryption and authentication to make it more secure. And in my test, I was able to boot a small system with its hard drive on another continent. That means yeah, somehow in the rest of the world. I would like to keep the questions for later. There will be time. Can you keep it in mind? Okay. Okay. So, what's the future of iSCSI? Looking to the future, we just see that it currently made it into the mainstream kernel. iSCSI will become a lot more common in modern data centers tomorrow, if not even today. It's a process of enhancing the existing storage infrastructure in some companies. It will for sure not completely replace existing storage, but give new features and options for users working on this iSCSI. What's left to do? The work on having a nice GUI to administer the iSCSI target initiator has already restarted with the KaiSCSI admin project, and there are a few improvements made on the iSCSI itself based on the needs, what needs to be done. For example, the really serious thing what iSCSI is going to need is having a robust solution for the dynamic device management, so that different types of hardware can connect generic types of device names. And soon we will see also that iSCSI gets included in common Linux distribution, which also should help to populate the group of users. So, as the summary and conclusion, we now hopefully understand the hype about the iSCSI. In my test, I like it very much, and in my feeling, it's much better than NFS, which has serious problems in the Linux implementation, like file locking. I think everybody who tried to use NFS or NFS root from in really big environments knows what I'm talking about. And on the other hand, with iSCSI, you can get rid of all this because the client actually sees a standard block device with all possibilities of, for example, file locking. iSCSI itself is easy to manage and to maintain, and it gives incredible flexibility in terms of storage management. As a serious decision help, of course, it's a cheap technology. You can use the open source projects to create a SAN environment for every kind of server farm or data center. And sure, it needs an integration phase to actually move from the existing storage environment or to enhance the existing storage environment, and it needs a detailed plan for the migration to avoid later bottlenecks. Anyways, from my personal experience, I just can say that I recommend iSCSI to you. Make your own experiences and judge yourself. So, hopefully I did not run too fast across the presentation. I want to give you a detailed overview of what you can do with iSCSI. I want to show it to you as a live demonstration. So, I set up a small iSCSI target on my computer here, and we can use the client to actually connect some hard disks to see how iSCSI is being used. So, therefore, okay. Everybody can see this. Should I make the writing the letters a bit bigger? Better? Okay. So, let's see. on this terminal here on top, I will tail the Varlog messages file to let you see the moment of the discovery and the login when the actual remote block device disappears on the local computer. Okay. So this is the first command to discover an iSCSI target, which is currently running here on the local host. And this will return a list of available logical targets configured on the iSCSI target. So we have what we have here. This is the record number. The most interesting thing to actually be able to connect to this target. And this is what we are doing now, using the second command. So the first command is to get a record number to which I want to connect through. And the second command is to log in to this specific record number to connect the devices behind the record. So now we are logged in. As you can see here in the messages file, there is a new SCSI hard disk appearing. It's a very small one. It's just for testing. It has three partitions, as we can see here, and it's now attached by the hot plugin mechanisms as SDH 1, 2, 3, and 4. Now, I can just use them as regular devices, mount them wherever I want. Here's the actually there's one partition which is mounted and used now. So to disconnect the device, I am using the same command but with logout, and after that the device is being removed again by the hot plugin system from my computer. So after that I will not succeed to mount it anymore. This is basically everything what I need. The target itself, I can show you a quick configuration file to let you see. It's very easy to configure. This is the Enterprise iSCSI configuration file. It has one logical target named Node 8. You can have a list of different LANs here. We have just one LAN. LAN 0. You give the path to either a block, a real physical hard disk, or the name of the of a block device, and start it. So after that, this device is exported across the network, so clients can connect it. To make it easier for the users. As mentioned, we have started this iSCSI admin project, which is the GUI interface for the same commands we just executed on the shell. This is the interface. So to discover the LANs or devices on the iSCSI target which we actually can connect, which are available, we simply press the get target list. There we have the same record as we had before in the console. And to log in or to connect this target, we can simply double click on it. And a new screen appears with all the new devices being found on this target. So there are these four partitions on the virtual disk. And to mount it, I just can double click it again, or access it via a common browser. Take some time. It's not the fastest notebook. So This is the temporary mounted SDH1 partition to see that I'm not fooling you. You mount it and refresh and you see it's away. To disconnect or lock out the target, simply double click it again and it will lock out, so you are free to connect to the next target. So should be a great help for the administrators. Yeah, I'm more or less finished so far. Thank you for your attention. We have now time for questions, if there are any. I think there was one over there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So given the number of patches that are currently committed to the upstream kernel, do you seriously recommend using iSCSI in the enterprise already?
Yes, but not using the latest stuff, which is currently in the kernel, but give it a bit time to settle down. I made very good experiences. I understand your question. The current biggest issue is to find a kernel version and the fitting iSCSI version, which works together in a stable way. Mm-hmm. So either we can exchange mail address and I can mail you some combinations which I'm experienced to be very stable. I would recommend not to use that what is currently in the kernel, even if it's very good that it is in the kernel, but their latest development release. Mm-hmm. And against the 2.13 or 2.14, 2.6.13 or 2.6.14 kernel, if possible. If you need a very new kernel, it should work also. But don't use their really latest stuff. They are really busy on development, and there are a lot of patches going in and out there. Okay.
And the second question is, you mentioned this OpenQRM, which I personally have never heard before. Can you maybe spend some words on that?
Yes, I can do it. You're very welcome. I also have some. Can tell you for now. I've also made some live CDs for two projects: the KaiSCSI admin project and the OpenQM project. I will give them out later. And there is a one page about the OpenQM project here, so you can get some more information there. In short, it's it's a complete data management system, and the motivation for this is to have a generic interface for all kinds of different needs and maybe integrated projects in a data center, to have everything under one hood. Yeah, and this OpenQM is trying to do this with good success, as I think. It has an iSCSI support, which is based on the plugin. That means it offers you two already made iSCSI kernels with Linux kernels with iSCSI support. And it offers you that you can boot your systems directly from an iSCSI target in your storage network. Of course, there are different other plugins for the OpenQRM project, but this is the iSCSI-related stuff about that. Other questions? Yeah, in front? It depends. You may want to use, for example, also Windows Service, which is not a topic of this talk at all. The HPA, the hardware HPAs, they have the advantage that they give you a real disk, a local disk, which the operation system sees as local disk without any changes, without loading any drivers or whatever. And actually, it's a network file system. the OpenQM is doing this hardware initiator in the software part, like in packaging this initID, and it depends on your needs. I cannot say this is better or this is better. One thing I can say that they are currently still very expensive, so you must have a good reason to use them. Otherwise, I would more recommend the software initiate. No. And the development, especially about this hardware initiator, hardware HPAs, to my mind just starts, or it just started like half a year or a year ago. Maybe it needs also some time to settle a bit. The good thing is, as I mentioned, you need no operation system changes at all because it sees a generic SCSI disk without any hacks. Does this answer your question more or less?
You compared iSCSI to NFS, but why didn't you compare it to network block device, which is much nearer in its idea?
Yeah.
And the great advantage of network file system is to mount it from many, many different clients, which mm-hmm. you can't do with iSCSI.
You can do as long as you are using a clustered file system.
Like GFS, yes, all the locking problems.
Yeah, then use OCFS. You can ask the guy which is talking after me about it, and my tests work very well. You are absolutely right. The comparison between NFS and iSCSI lacks a bit. I did not compare it to network block devices because in my tests they are not ready for production state.
Network block device
like
is not
GNBD or NBD is not what I recommend for production service.
So far I understand there's a daemon on the other side, on the SCC side, that answers your question. When you make your request here, tell me you are an SCSE disk. So it's basically a daemon process on the other side.
Yeah.
Did I understand that's correct? Wouldn't it be better to have a general solution so that any device on the other side, not only SCSE, could be discovered this way?
Yeah, of course. But then this is more like a kernel-related question, how the architecture of the kernel may need to enhance for this option. There are actual operation systems like Plan 9 or something like that which supports this, like accessing remote device file systems. But this is not the gain of the iSCSI project. Only the iSCSI projects are using only the protocol part of SCSI to transport the data or requests across the network.
And how did you differentiate yourself from, for example, the ATA over Ethernet project? What is it basically the same? You make an Ethernet connection with SCC,
yeah.
and they do the same with
yeah.
ATA.
Yeah.
And
it's a different transport mechanism, more or less.
It's only a different protocol, and that's it.
Yeah, I'm not so familiar with this AT&T or what you said, this project. I'm not so familiar with it, so I cannot really tell much about it. So
okay.
iSCSI generally just uses the transport mechanism of SCSI over TCP/IP. It's just an interface between different layers.
Okay, I have two questions. Do we have any real-world examples of usage? And is it possible to cluster the target so that you have something like failover in fiber channel runs?
Yes, clustering, first of the last questions, clustering the target depends on the target you are using. I know that NetApp, a commercial iSCSI filer, has a lot of capabilities like that. With an open with the enterprise iSCSI target, it's basically a single server, a TCP/IP server, where the administrator can has to take care of like failing over this single service. Or
but it works seamlessly for the client. So the client doesn't crash if the cluster switches.
Depend when you're using the when you have the same IP address on the on your client's on the target service, it's transparent. Yeah. To your first question. About any real production environments using it, we integrated in OpenQRM to iSCSI was integrated into OpenQRM to motivate more people to actually use it and make it more easier to use it also for booting. Real production environment, I know of a few also, but I cannot tell you like big names or so.
Well, it's nearly 4 o'clock, so thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you also very much for your attention.